Hey there, everybody. Welcome to this week's episode of the Home Class Movie Chat. We are so excited for you to be here
Hey,
today.
hun,
Yes? What?
what about the intro music?
I forgot about that. Here comes the music.
Hey everybody, welcome back to another episode of the Home Class Movie Chat. We are your hosts, married couple movie buff fans, Kat.
And Paul.
And we're excited to bring to you today.
We are going to be going all the way back to 2019 to a movie that a lot of people sat there and went, I don't know whether I like it. And I've actually heard people sit there and go, no, no, why would you watch this? And I actually really enjoyed this movie.
Me too.
So much so that we are actually doing it today. We are going to be doing The Curse of La Llorona. Now, as I said, there's a lot of people that sit there and say, I don't like this movie. I can't figure out why. In actual fact, from my own point of view, I see that La Llorona is actually scarier than Valak out of The Conjuring.
In some ways, yeah, I can see where you would say that.
She's scarier than Valak. I think Valak has become, you know, we've seen, you know, we saw The Conjuring Part 2 where Valak shows up. We've seen, obviously, The Nun. But I think that The Nun really, because it wasn't as impactful as what I thought it was going to be, and they are going to release, it's either the end of this year, the Nun Part 2.
I was
which
really
I was disappointed
in The Nun.
Yeah, and we actually did this episode a couple of weeks ago on The Nun, and I was really disappointed in The Nun. I was actually thinking when this was going to be released, holy crap, this is going to be good. What they do is they show you all the good parts, and then they say, yeah, but you got to get through the garbage.
All the rest of it.
You got to get through
the
rubbish.
Well, see, and that's the thing is in the second, it was The Conjuring, right?
Conjuring Part 2.
Yeah, in the second Conjuring, when they introduced Valak as that creepy nun that he kept painting and all of that, that honestly gave me it scared the crap out of me. So when I'd like wake up in the middle of the night to go to the bathroom, I'd refuse to look in the mirror because I was terrified I'd see something standing in back of me.
Yeah.
And it did. It's, you know, it was like 2 or 3 weeks before I could get up in the middle of the night and not think about it. So it was really effective. So when you told me they were bringing out The Nun, I was like, no, I don't want to watch it. And
and
I
we
actually
watched
ended
it.
Up falling asleep in it.
Yeah, we actually watched the very first time we saw The Nun, and this is not The Nun episode, I'm sorry, everyone, but we saw The Nun the first time when we both basically fell asleep. We actually had to go back and watch it a second time, and
so we
the
could
second
do
viewing, to watch the podcast, or listen to do the podcast, but we watched it, and we both looking at each other going, well, okay, wow,
yeah,
huge. So when I saw The Curse of La Llorona that was available that I could actually watch, and we both decided to watch it, I thoroughly enjoyed this movie.
I thought it was really clever and
very
okay,
well
so,
written.
And I thought it was going to be a little bit formulaic. It kind of had that feeling like, oh, okay. Oh, we've got the creepy music. There's going to be a jump scare,
Oh, we've
you know,
seen
and
this
all this
all
stuff,
before.
you know, and whatever. And I was like, oh, he's going to go up in the attic and there's going to something happen and major jump scare. And then it didn't.
Yeah.
And they went a totally different direction. And you're like, what? What?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
What
This is not the movie I thought it was going to be. This is going to be interesting.
And that's why a lot of people have sat there and gone, oh my God, I would never watch this movie. You know, if you guys are listening to this podcast and have been on the fence about watching The Curse of La Llorona, please, by all means, please go and watch it. We're not going to steer you wrong.
And then come and talk to us.
Yeah, we're not going to steer you wrong and to say, go and watch it. We know that it's garbage.
No.
We thoroughly enjoyed this movie, the way they did it, the way it was just a very good, very good movie. I
we
really
have
enjoyed this
done
one.
Crap movie on this podcast,
Birdemic.
And we have been very honest to say we're going to watch this and suffer through it and tell you about it so you don't have to watch it and waste you know, an hour and a half of your life.
Exactly.
But this one was worth the watch.
Yeah, this one we will say go and watch it.
Yeah, go definitely. And watch this one. It's really good.
Yeah. So before we get started on this podcast, remember you can reach out to us at hello@homeclassmoviechat.com.
Yep.
There you can send us questions. You can send us just messages of hi, how we're doing. Just, you know, letting us know that you're enjoying the podcast. And remember,
which we hope you are.
We certainly hope you are enjoying the podcast. And remember, you can rate and review us on any listening platforms that you listen to and subscribe to our channel. You can also give us a like and review on iTunes, which is awesome because it gives us more chance of being visibility on search engines. But before we get started on this podcast, we have to listen to the trailer. So sit back and relax, because here is the trailer to The Curse of La Llorona.
Trisha, I'm very sorry about your loss.
It's your fault!
I can't even imagine how you must feel.
Your children,
Lindsay,
are safe now. But have they heard her crying? Have they felt the sting of her tears? They will. And she will come for them. Who?
La Llorona.
I like how that doesn't actually give away
too much
of the movie.
Yeah,
there are some that do.
And yes, just for the record, it took me about 5 minutes to teach him how to say La Llorona properly.
Yeah, because I did not know how to say it. I saw La and then La La Llorona.
And I used to take quite a bit of Spanish in school back in and. In case you didn't know, but you probably do because we got a smart audience, the double L in Spanish is a Y sound.
I did not know that one.
So it's La Llorona.
I did not know that.
And La Llorona roughly translates to the curse of the weeping woman.
And that is why we're doing The Curse of La Llorona.
Yeah.
All the way back in 2019, this was released, which is not that long ago. Yeah, I know. This was a lifetime ago. This is when the world was nice. But yeah, I know. It's interesting. This movie actually opens up where we start to see the heading Mexico 1673. And we've got two young boys and they present their mother with a pendant. It's a beautiful little pendant, which she says, oh my God, I'm going to cherish this forever. And we see that she and her husband hold hands with their sons and they start dancing around in a circle. And of course, one of the youngest boy opens his eyes and sees that everyone is gone. Now, this is one of those things I sat there.
It was a little weird.
What? Like, is he dreaming? Or this is the one part of the movie that I didn't really fully understand.
Yeah, I still don't understand that part.
So then
I think they edited a little too much out of it.
Yeah, they must have taken something out of it because this doesn't really.
This is like, you know, were they set upon by.
Was this a dream? Like, was he asleep or is this somebody else's dream? Or we don't know that for a fact.
Or did somebody, you know, when they were playing hide and seek, did somebody, you know, steal his family away or kill them or, you know.
doesn't give you a clear cut indication of what's going on, but the boy opens up his eyes, obviously, and everyone's gone. So he starts walking around calling for his mother and his brother. And he comes around this corner only to find that the woman is drowning his brother in a river.
Yeah.
Now, of course,
and we have no idea where the father is.
Yeah, father's not there. We don't even know why she's doing this. So the little boy goes to run away only to be grabbed by the mother and taken back to the river as well. So we assume that, oh, so she's drowning him as well.
Both of her children.
We don't know, because then suddenly it transitions over to Los Angeles, 1973.
Yep.
And we meet a social worker by the name of Anna Tate Garcia, and she's getting her kids, Chris and Sam, ready for school. But of course, as kids do, I'm coming, don't rush me. The bus is coming. I'm coming, don't rush me. I got to put my shoes on. I got to get my bag. Of course, they missed the bus. Yeah. So she has to take them to school. So at work, Anna overhears her boss and co-worker, Donna, because she is basically said, you know, can you check on the home of Patricia Alvarez? And this is a woman that's had some issues in the past with her children.
And Anna has been working with this woman for years, but the boss is giving it to her associate.
Yeah. And it's like, well, hang on, why are you giving it to her? I know her. I've worked very, very closely with her over these years, so I know how to speak to her. And it's like, no, we're going to give it to her, but no. And Patricia's really not into this, so she goes.
Anna wins and gets the case.
Yeah.
Because the boss was like, oh, well, we know you've got a lot going on, so we just want to take some things off your plate.
Yeah, exactly. And of course, Patricia is actually a mother of two boys, Thomas and Carlos. And of course, Anna is their caseworker. And she actually overhears that the boys have been missing from school. And, of course, Anna convinces her boss to go and let her check on them because she knows them more personally. And
she has a relationship with them.
This other worker, Donna, she'd walk in and go, right, what the hell's going on here?
We're taking the kids out and taking them away from you and leave.
Where Anna would go and knock on the door, speak to Patricia and go, okay, what's going on? What can we do to help you? What you need help? Yeah. Let's sit and talk. And Patricia might be very a lot more receptive of Anna coming into the situation rather than having this brand new person, because Patricia doesn't know Donna, but Patricia's had a relationship with Anna. So hey, you know, you're a friend of ours. You're working. You're our co-worker, our counselor. You know, hey, you can work with us. So.
Yep, so, of course, exactly.
Anna goes to the Alvarez home with a police officer by the name of Carlo. Carlos, I think it was, that goes there. And Patricia tries to keep them from entering the house. And this is when, you know, Anna is saying, listen, please, just let me in.
Yep.
And she's like, okay, well, you know, I'll let you in, but the police officer has to stay outside. And of course, the police officer's like, nope, I'm coming in. And she's like, you come in. Nobody's coming in. So Anna finally convinces Patricia to let her in inside. And so she does go in, and Patricia mentions that she has been hearing the sounds of a woman crying. And we don't know exactly what's going on, but when she walks in, the windows are all boarded up. There are candles and crucifixes everywhere that you can see. And you can see there is something very, very off with this situation.
Yeah.
This is just not a normal situation that Anna is dealing with Patricia. And of course, Anna goes by a closet where she realizes that she could hear some crying and someone saying, let us out. And of course, we find out that the boys are being kept in this closet.
Were they saying, let us out? Because
she thought she could hear them saying, let us out, but there is La Llorona.
Because they weren't wanting to get out.
No, she thinks that the boys are saying, let us out, which in actual fact, it's actually La Llorona saying, let us out because I need to come in.
Yeah.
So of course, you know, she opens up the closet, and this is where the two boys are sitting there cowering in the closet. And Anna's like, come on. And they're like, close the door.
Yeah.
Like, don't let us out. And she's got that puzzled look on her face. Like, but you said, let us out. Why are you saying keep us in there? Then all of a sudden we see that Patricia attacks Anna in an attempt to keep her from opening the door. Of course, the police officer breaks into the house, thank God, and pulls Patricia off Anna. And of course, she's opened the door to find Thomas and Carlos there. And this is when, you know, Anna finally gets a chance to grab a hold of the boys, and the boys then sort of like retreat back to say, no, we can't leave. Now, when you first hear that, you think, oh, the mother's still got that influence on the boys that she's chastised them to a, such a degree that they are terrified of leaving the safety of the closet. But even Patricia is saying, don't let them out of the closet. It's not like, and you have that feeling of like, you know, she's saying to them, don't you dare let them out of the closet. I am disciplining them. But we find out that what she's actually doing is
trying
completely different, trying to protect them.
Yeah.
So of course, this, you know, and of course, when they are brought to the hospital, they have burn marks on their wrists. So that would indicate to anybody, oh, it's child abuse for sure.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, you're in a home where you haven't been to school.
Well, in a normal situation,
oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
The windows are barred. There's candles everywhere. There's no power. There's crucifixes everywhere. You've got the children in the closet. You got the burn marks on their wrists. You got a mother saying, don't open the closet. Yep. The children are cowering in the closet. Put two and two together. It doesn't come up with, you know, 750. It comes up with four. These children are being abused.
Yeah, exactly.
This is where we start to see there's some serious problems going on. Of course, at home, you know, Anna's trying to cope with spend time with her children because she's a widow and her husband was killed in the line of duty. And it's been rather hard on her to actually accept that fact because being a police officer's wife, you always, I guess, have that fear of, oh my God, they're leaving and, you know.
Yeah, they're not going to come home.
They might not come home. So
and that's a legit fear.
I'm sure it is. So, you know, you've always got that fear that you'll never see them again. So it's always good to say, like Kat always says to me, I love you.
The last thing I say to you every day when you head off to work is that I love you.
Yep, exactly.
Because I don't ever want there to be a time when I don't say that.
Yeah.
Because that's why I have the worst days if we ever part angry in the morning for some stupid reason. But one of my favorite lines in the Outlander universe is when he's heading off to deal with whatever, like it's a battle or something. He turns to his wife, his beloved soulmate, Claire, and he says, if I don't make it back to tell you that I love you, you'll know that it's just because I didn't have time.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's always good to tell everyone, tell those ones, people close to you, that you love them before you leave in the morning, or if you work at nighttime, before you leave in the evening, because you never know.
You just never know what day the day is going to bring.
Yeah. So the children have been placed into like a not a foster care, but it's like a halfway house facility.
A temporary
shelter, like a shelter.
Yeah, it's a temporary DCS facility until they can find a foster home for them and work out what's going on with their mom.
Yeah, and so Carlos is
it's like a dormitory.
Yeah, thank you. So the kids are asleep, and of course Carlos, the older boy, is woken up with what sounds like a woman sobbing, and he tries to wake up Thomas, but he doesn't hear. And of course, a guard checks in on them, and when he leaves, Thomas is out of the bed. And Carlos follows outside to the hallway, and Thomas turns around, and we see that, you know, Thomas is actually following him, going, Carlos, wake up, wake up. And he's just continuously walking down the hallway.
It's like he's in a trance of some sort.
Really is in a trance. And so there's, you know, Thomas, and he's trying to find out what the hell is going on with Carlos. And Carlos sort of like stops midway down the hallway and turns to look at Thomas. And Thomas is like standing there saying, you know, wait, what's wrong? Wake up. And of course, Carlos turns around and he points up to the ceiling. But before Thomas actually looks up to the ceiling, he looks down and he sees there's some drips on the floor. It's like water's dripping on the floor.
But he's not actually pointing at the ceiling. He's pointing at the reflective mirror that shows what's in the hallway that's at a 90 degree angle.
That's right. And we can see like there's a shadow that's close to where Thomas is standing. And then as he's pointing, you can see there's some drips on the floor right next to Thomas's feet. And he looks up. And as he looks up, he is face to face with La Llorona, who happens to come from the ceiling straight down onto Thomas. Of course, then Anna is obviously in bed asleep. And this is where they're watching something on TV. And
they're watching Scooby-Doo, Where Are You? From 1969, which is a cartoon. Linda Cardellini is the one who plays Anna, and I personally loved her in ER. That's where I discovered her, and I've enjoyed her everything I've ever seen. But what's interesting is that Linda Cardellini played Velma in Scooby-Doo in 2002 and Scooby-Doo 2 Monsters Unleashed in 2004.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yep. I love those little.
I love the little nuggets.
Yeah.
They're really fun ones. So, of course,
that's why I call them fun facts.
I like the fun facts. Hit us with your fun facts. So, Anna's called by Detective Cooper to go to the hospital. And this is where she has to unfortunately, they discover Thomas and Carlos's bodies were found in the river. Now, this is what I don't understand about children. Anna says to her children, because Sam and Chris have to come with her in the car, because obviously there's nobody to look after them. Don't.
And you can't just leave your kids at home alone when they're yet that young.
What does she say to them?
Stay in the car.
Stay in the car. Don't move.
And look. And her daughter was asleep, and she's like, look after your sister and don't move.
So,
and what's the first thing he does?
But we also find out before this happens that Patricia is there. And she's absolutely wailing in despair and blames Anna for causing the death of her children and that she was trying to protect them from La Llorona. So, you know, what you think you saw was not what you actually saw. They were in the closet. I put them in the closet to protect them from her, not that I was trying to hurt them. So,
and I remember saying at the time when we saw that closet that it reminded me of Annabelle when they put the doll in the closet and covered it in Bible verses and crosses and all of that to keep, but it was obviously to keep her in
the evil end.
And this was to keep her out.
Out, yeah.
Because but it reminded me of Annabelle that way.
Yeah, because on the front of the door where the children were in the closet, there was crucifixes attached to the front door and there was Bible verses that were stuck on there to try and keep her away from the children.
Yeah.
It was like a safe zone for.
Yeah, it was a safe room, yeah.
Yeah, safe room. So, of course, as Kat said, you know, Anna says to the children, you know, Sam's asleep, don't worry about that. Chris, stay in the car, look after your sister, I'll be back. Chris walks out of the car.
As soon as she gets out of sight. Hey, I have to go see what's going on.
I know, like, this is a scene where two children have been found.
Yeah, but they don't know that.
I know, but no, Anna goes and sees that the children are dead. They're laying on concrete near a river. They're dead.
Covered with sheets.
Covered with sheets. They're dead, definitely. But of course, Chris has to go and double check, but see what's going on. Because then he hears the sound of La Llorona crying.
Mm-hmm.
And she sees him and starts muttering in Spanish about her children and wanting to take him. And this is
we don't know that because we're not assuming we don't understand Spanish and assuming that the boy doesn't understand Spanish.
We didn't know. Because then she emerges.
But he went over being the beautiful, compassionate soul that he is to say, are you okay?
Yeah, because he could hear her crying. Yeah. And it could be that fact, like, my children are dead and I'm the mother and I'm crying away from the children and I'm in pain, I'm in agony.
But the thing that we don't know about La Llorona yet is why she's doing this.
Exactly. And then, of course, she emerges from the shadows and grabs Chris's arm, burning him where she touches him. So, of course, then Chris runs back to the car and wakes up Sam. And, of course, this is where, you know, he jumps in the car and they lock the doors to try and keep La Llorona out. Of course, then the door starts to pop open. So they actually close the doors again. Then you start to see the window is starting to be wound down. So they're trying to grab a hold of the window, try and wind it back up. And he's briefly sees La Llorona's reflection in the mirror before she starts to roll down the windows again.
Yeah.
And then he grabs a hold of the window and starts to hold it to make sure it doesn't go down any further. But of course, luckily, Anna comes back just in time.
Yeah. Now, silly little trivia, thing, but I love these little anachronistic things.
Yep.
That when they're visiting the river where the boys were drowned, the station wagon plays a sound for the door being open, which was a ding dong, ding dong, that was not available on cars until the mid to late 80s. Cars in the 70s would have had a buzzer, so it would have gone as opposed to ding dong, ding dong.
Well, that's actually not a bad little bit of trivia.
I thought that was a fun little piece of trivia.
That is a nice little nugget because yeah.
there kind of lightens the tension a little.
Yeah,
bit.
Because there's a lot of tension in that scene
yeah.
where you're sitting there and you're seeing the car lock suddenly pop open or
yeah, because you're just window. Like, oh my god, she's going to get them, and then what's going to happen?
Well, you can't because there's Sam sitting in the back seat, Chris is in the front seat, and suddenly you know we're watching Sam. Watching Sam, and to the right-hand side of it, you start to see the window just slowly starting to turn and go down. You're like, holy crap. And
yeah, because she woke out of a dead sleep with her brother screaming, and she's like, what's going on?
Yeah.
And he's like freaking out, and she's like, ah, I want to freak out, but I don't know why.
He's doing good work. He's jumping from the back seat to the front seat, because when he gets in the front seat and you can see the window starting to go down the back, he jumps into the back to save Sam.
Yeah.
And grabs a hold of the thing to wind it back up. And then suddenly the front window goes down. So he has to jump back in the front seat to try and stop that. So
he's yep. And then, mom comes and opens the door and he's like, ah! And she's like, what are you doing?
But of course, as I said, we see the.
Actually, I don't think she ever knew that he got out of the car.
No, he didn't. No, she didn't. She had no idea what was going on. So it could have been that Anna just sort of like looked at him and went, oh. Okay, you're just woken up out of a dead sleep. Who knows? Yeah, but you can see that.
They never really addressed his freak out.
No, they didn't. And I think Anna just would have thought to herself that maybe it was just that she startled them out of a sleep. He might have fallen asleep. Yeah. So the next day,
that's another over edit.
Yeah. So the next day, we see Anna walks by the Alvarez home, which is Patricia's house, and sees people engaging in some sort of ritualistic cleaning or cleansing of to ward off bad spirits. And she meets Father Perez.
Mm.
Who basically explains to Anna what the hell is going on about La Llorona.
Now, before we jump into that, I would just like to point out that Tony Amendola, who played Father Perez, is the same Father Perez from Annabelle in 2014.
Yeah. Now, this is where a lot of people sit there and go, hang on a minute, is this a crossover?
And the public actually widely accepted it as a spinoff chapter from the Conjuring universe. And the information, however, was later confirmed to be false from director Michael Chavez, who stated that the film was never meant to be included on the shared universe and that it couldn't be fully embraced because it was made without one of the main producers from the Conjuring franchise. However, I just wanted to point out that Tony Amendola was one of the minor supporting characters on the Once Upon a Time television show, and he played Geppetto.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I loved him on that. He was beautiful on that show. Yeah, he was best friends with Jiminy Cricket. But in Storybrooke, when they were cursed, they didn't know that they were fairy tale characters.
And see, this is why a lot of people in the Conjuring community and the you know, that sort of universe, have sat there and panned this movie and have gone, nope, not watching it because it's not part of the Conjuring universe. You know, it's a great standalone movie on its own.
It really is.
Yes, it's got Father Perez. And, you know, and he does say, and you do see that scene where he does actually hold Annabelle. And you could sit there and go, oh, because he does say, I had an incident with this doll. Now, you can sit there and go, well, it really is that same thing just because there's not the other director. It's still part of the universe. It's not directly, but it's indirectly. You know, but as yeah. I said, when I first saw this movie, I'm like, I'm not going to watch this because I had the same idea as everyone else did. Oh, it has that guy in it, but it's not part of the universe.
It's part of the it is part of the universe, but it's not part of the canon.
Yeah, and that's why I've said that La Llorona is a lot scarier, in my opinion, than what Valak is. Valak has become like Freddy Krueger.
Yeah, a little bit.
When Freddy Krueger first showed up in Nightmare on Elm Street, the very first one, you know, he was like, holy shit, this thing is
terrifying. I had to
sleep
with the lights on for a month when I saw that by accident.
Yeah, like absolutely terrifying. By the time we got to Dream Warriors, Dream Master, Dream Child, it was like, oh, it's Freddy. You know, he's that sort of character now that kids dress up in Halloween like him.
Yeah, he's lost all of the scary.
But then again,
But
then again, you look at Michael, you look at Jason, people dress up like that. Those
they've
two.
Overdone them.
Yeah. So when you see someone like Valak, you sit there and go, oh, it's Valak. Rather than, oh my God, when we first saw her in Conjuring Part 2, it was like, holy shit, she's terrifying. Now it's like, oh, it's Valak. But when you see La Llorona, it's like she's still got that mystique of like, holy shit,
Yeah.
Like she is terrifying. She is genuinely terrifying, in my opinion.
Yep.
But of course, when Anna
this was an excellent thriller.
I really like this movie. So when Anna does speak to Father Perez and he explains to Anna what's going on, and she asks him, well, okay, so what is it all about? And
well, because by this point, haven't things been happening in her home?
We're starting to see little bits and pieces.
Yeah, we're starting to see little bits and pieces. And I think she's actually started to see some things.
Yeah.
Which is what prompted her to go to the priest and say, well, can you come and do like an exorcism or something?
I think also there was one of the things that I think it was part of the one of the scenes is that, you know, she would bathe or not bathe. Her daughter would have a bath of a nighttime. And she would the mother would be at the head part of the bath
and wash her hair
and then rinsing, and she would go under the water and her mother would rinse her hair off and that would be fine. So one scene we're seeing that the daughter is in the bath and we suddenly see that La Llorona's hands come onto her daughter's head.
Yeah, now, and you find yourself screaming at the television to tell Anna to get upstairs and check on her daughter.
Yeah, because it's like, that's not your mother. Now so you know, there's Sam, and Sam's not looking back to see if this is her mother. She just
because
feels
why
some
would
hands.
She doubt it?
You wouldn't, you know. So she suddenly feels hands on her scalp. So, you know, there's Sam thinking that her mother is massaging the shampoo into her head. And of course, we see that it's La Llorona's hands. And then she says, rinsing. So she goes under the water. Well, La Llorona keeps Sam's
holding
head
under
the
water.
And Sam is trying to get up and she's thrashing about. And this is where you were watching the movie going, Anna, get upstairs, get upstairs, get upstairs.
Yeah, I'm literally screaming at the screen.
Because you can see that Sam's thrashing about in the bath. Anna's trying to run upstairs, and she does. She gets upstairs, but as she goes towards the bathroom, La Llorona looks towards Sam, looks towards Anna, and slams the door in her face and holds the door so she can't get in to save Sam.
Yeah.
Luckily, at one stage, she does manage to break the door down, and luckily,
fortunately, it's an old house.
Yeah, but luckily, is able to save Sam. But Sam's like gets up out of the water. And shakes her head to try and figure out, well, where's Mum? And suddenly Mum comes bursting through the door. So I was like, well, who the fuck was behind me?
Yeah.
Like, you've just come through the door.
Was honestly one of the most stressful scenes I've ever seen.
It was. It was very stressful when you see La Llorona standing there holding Sam's head under the water. She's thrashing about and Mum's trying to get in. It's like, oh, my God.
Yeah.
But the Father Perez basically tells Anna that La Llorona was once considered to be the most beautiful woman in her village, and she met a rancher who rode into town and fell in love with her. And of course, this is where they had two sons and lived happily until she caught him with a younger woman. In her rage, she sought to spite him by killing their sons.
Which does not make sense.
Doesn't make any sense. But after realizing what she'd done, she was so consumed with grief and guilt that she drowned herself as well. Because she killed herself, she was barred from entering the afterlife, which is a common thing.
Yeah.
If you commit suicide, you can't get into heaven. That's a sin. You can't take your own life. I don't know. Pardon me. I don't know whether this is real or not. I've never died, and I didn't come back, so I don't know. But it is commonly held ideas in the Catholic Church, in the Bible, wherever you are. You know,
I'm not sure I've ever seen it referenced in the Bible as a sin.
Well, it's not. There is definitely passages in the Bible that says you're not allowed to take your own life.
Well, that's a discussion for another day.
It is true. So, of course, this is where we see that after Sam's had all this whole thing going on, later, it was a couple of days down the track, Sam is outside by the pool with her transparent umbrella. And you sort of like sit there and go, Sam, no, don't go near the water. So she opens it up and catches a glimpse of La Llorona. And of course, then the wind blows the umbrella out of Sam's hand and lands in the pool. And this is where, as a kid, she needs to go and grab it. So it blows out of her hands and it's on the patio. So she walks towards the umbrella to grab a hold of it, and it blows a little bit further. And now it's at the edge of the pool. And of course, then Sam goes towards the end of the edge of the pool, and it blows once again, goes into the center of the pool. Now we know who's blowing this umbrella. It's not the wind. It's La Llorona. So, of course, she reaches out for it to grab it. And, of course, La Llorona appears and grabs her hand, burning her as well.
Now, David, or her brother, already has burns from, I think, the car. Yeah. So, and that was part of what started this whole thing, is that she realized that her son had a burn on his arm that he got at the car at the river.
Yeah, he wasn't actually in the car. He was actually, when she came out of the shadows and grabbed a hold of him, she burnt his arm.
And that's when he ran back.
Then he ran back into the car.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's when she realized that it was similar to the ones that the boys had, the Alvarez boys had.
Yeah. So now Anna's starting to put two and two together. So Anna goes to talk to Patricia in prison. And of course, you know, I mean, Patricia is still very angry towards Anna and saying that, you know, she really believes that she caused her boy's deaths. And quite rightly so. You know, I was trying to protect them. You took them out of my custody. You put them into this facility and now they're dead. Come on. And you're the last person that actually made this happen. Of course, she's going to have anger towards her.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
Patricia asks Anna if they've heard. If anyone have heard La Llorona's crying, and if they felt the sting of her tears. And it's like, yeah. And she admits that she didn't pray to God for the salvation of her boys, but she actually prayed to La Llorona to take Anna's kids in exchange for her own. So Patricia believes that if La Llorona goes and takes Anna's children away from her and kills them, then La Llorona will actually graciously give Patricia back her boys.
Which
this is where it's like, I don't think that actually works.
I don't think it works that way.
I don't think La Llorona is going to sit there and go, okay, well, I've got two, and you're praying to me to make me get the other two. So if I get the other two, you'd like your two back. Yeah, we can do that. It's like, no, I don't. I really don't believe that's the way it goes. But we do, as I said, we do see that she is, you know, happily praying that, well, La Llorona took my children. I'm praying to her to get your children fucked up. So, of course, we do see that Cooper and Donna show up to Anna's house that night when they suspect something is up with the kids, especially with the burns on their arms. Now, this is where Anna really sits her, because she's expecting these two, because, you know, Officer Cooper arrives and, you know, her other workmate Donna arrives. And when Anna opens the door, you can see Anna's face. She suddenly goes, I know what this is about. And it's like, okay. So now it's almost like Anna can see the shoe, as they say, the shoe's now on the other foot. Yeah. Anna can now see what Patricia saw. It's like, you know, we showed up at your door. You knew what it was about. And we basically muscled you our way in. You've seen these burn marks on your children. You didn't do it. You know you didn't do it. Yet,
but how can you prove it?
Exactly. And now you've got social workers arriving to say, hi, we're coming in. But I didn't do anything. Hi, we're coming in. It doesn't matter whether you say, well, you didn't do it or not. We're coming in. And so this is very, very hard to cope with the fact that now Anna can now see through Patricia's eyes what she actually should have seen.
Yeah,
Patricia's
exactly.
Sitting there going, I didn't do it. Believe me. Yeah, but I'm a social worker. I have to disbelieve you.
And as a social worker, she gets where they're coming from and why they're doing what they're doing. So she doesn't fight them on it.
No, she doesn't.
But she, you know, but it's hard. Sometimes it's really hard when you really can see both sides of the issue.
Yeah. And
one of those people.
And in this movie, we can certainly see it, because we can see that Anna is trying to be gracious enough to say, okay, yeah, okay, you're going to come in regardless because you've got a police officer, but please believe me, I didn't do anything.
Yeah.
And of course, the kids lie and say that they fell. But of course, you know, how many children, I mean, there are some children that would be gutsy enough to sit there and say, yeah, mum is abusing me. But, you know, the children are trying to make sure that what they know would possibly happen is not going to happen. So, oh, I just fell. I'm trying to protect my mother because I know that she didn't do this.
Yeah.
So, of course, after they leave, Anna goes to put the kids to bed. And, of course, she hears a noise in the darkness and also sees La Llorona causing her to scream. And this was a very, very, you know, terrifying scene, because she puts Sam to bed. And I don't know what it is about Americans and clothes. Yeah. I'm married to an American. Please tell me.
Yes. What?
Why do you close the doors to your children's bedroom?
To make it dark so they'll sleep.
That's it.
Yeah.
Because I grew up where I would go into my bedroom, I would go to sleep, my mum and dad would leave the door open. Any movie that I've ever seen from the age of, you know, knee high to a grasshopper to now, every American movie I've seen, they'll say, good night, clang, close the door.
Yeah.
It's like, well, what are you, why? I don't understand it. So anyway, but she turns off the light to close the door, and this is where we see La Llorona standing in the corner. And of course, this, you know, of course, Anna freaks the hell out. And of course, then the, you know, this whole thing's going on. And I like it how after she disappears, Anna goes, okay, kids, would you like to sleep in my room tonight?
Yeah.
I was like, yes, mom. Yes,
well, no, we I think like... the daughter came in and then and she invited her into the bed and then the boy came in.
Yeah, the son's like, I think we should all sleep in the same room. Of course, later, Anna asks Chris about what has been happening. And he tells her that he heard La Llorona in Sam's room. And of course, this whole thing, as I said, is what happened when when poor old Sam was actually having a bath and got, you know, La Llorona tries to drown her, which is, yeah, that was a very, very hard scene to see. Because and now this is the crossover that we actually, people are sitting there going, well, I don't understand this, because Anna goes to church to ask, to speak to Father Perez for help. And he says that he didn't believe in the supernatural until he had his run-in with a certain doll. And we find out that it was actually Annabelle that he actually had a hold of. But he knows of a former priest named Rafael Olvera, and that he can help.
Which was actually played by Raymond Cruz. And this is his first top billed role in a film, because he's always played like minor roles up until now. And I thought he did a beautiful job.
He also played a really good bad guy in Breaking Bad called Tuco. You've never seen Breaking Bad, I don't think.
I've seen parts of it, but I ended up sleeping through most of it because I just couldn't handle it. It was just too violent for me.
Yeah. Well, I've seen every single episode. I went and bought the DVDs. I was so enthralled and really very, very interested in that TV show. That's one of the TV shows that I honestly say, other than Big Bang Theory, that I've watched from beginning to end very happily, watched all the way
through. Yeah, he's notorious for crapping out after about one season, if that.
Yeah.
Yeah, he has no staying power.
But Breaking Bad was one that I had staying power right to the end.
Yeah, whereas you've really got me. I have watched every single episode of 23 seasons of Law & Order SVU.
That is dedication.
And every episode of 19 seasons of Grey's Anatomy.
How long did it take you to watch all the episodes of the Law & Order?
Law & Order, well, obviously I wasn't doing it all day, every day.
No.
But I think it took me, because I started it just after Christmas because you gave me season 23 on DVD.
Mm-hmm.
And so I started it like right around New Year's. And I think it took me about 7 months, somewhere between 5 and 7 months.
That is dedication, man.
Yeah.
As I said, I've watched Breaking Bad, every episode of Breaking Bad. Obviously not beginning to end in one sitting, but I've watched them all.
Yeah.
And so he played Tuco. He plays a great bad guy in Breaking Bad. You'd actually sit there and watch him and go, yeah, you're a prick. I hate you. You wouldn't have any respect for him, obviously, because he had to play a very bad drug dealer. So Anna ends up by bringing the kids to Raphael's shop to ask for help. And, of course, he doesn't appear very interested. And we find out that he was, obviously, we found out that he was a priest, but he just left the church because he was very disenchanted with what the priesthood was about.
Yeah.
Because anyone that knows, you know, the way exorcisms and stuff goes, is that if you suspect there's a problem, you've got to go to the church. And it was even shown in the Conjuring universe. You actually have to go to the church. You have to get permission. They have to do a thorough investigation. Then if they say it's warranted, then they assign you a priest. Then you actually go and do the exorcism. That could take months. And I mean months and months and months. So this is where Father Olvera sits there and goes, nope, I'm out. I don't want to be a priest anymore. But he's still, you know, in that very, very dark sort of like world of like, you know, helping people out with, you know, supernatural problems. Because he agrees when Sam asks for his help. And the power of a child, Sam says, you know, to Father Olvera, you know, please, please help us. And he's like, okay, he goes and but he's going to go to their home just to see what's going on. And he goes to their home, and I like it how he uses eggs to determine if there is actually a powerful evil entity haunting them. And of course, he says, wherever you go, La Llorona is going to follow you anywhere. So don't decide to go and leave the house. Don't go and sell the house and buy a new one. It's just going to. And I like it how he's rubbing the eggs along the walls, and the kids are doing it as well. And of course, this is where Anna's sitting there going, really? Eggs? Like, why? And he goes, this is to determine if you've got an evil entity. And she goes,
yeah, well, the darker the egg or the blacker the egg, the more the evil.
How are we going to find that out? And he goes, simple. And he cracks it open, and it is like black tar inside of it.
Just looking out.
And I like it how he sits there and he goes, I don't have to open up the other two to know that you've got problems. Like, this is, you have got a very, very evil spirit following you around.
Yeah, but I thought the eggs were clever. I've never heard that one before.
Neither have I. I thought it was a very, very good little thing. And unfortunately, this is where I also
fortunately, my eggs are always yellow and white.
Yes, they are. If they turn black, we're in trouble.
We're in big trouble.
So Raphael stays the night with the family and tries to find a way of keeping La Llorona out. And he shows Anna that he's collected La Llorona's tears, used as anti-venom.
Yeah.
And she then appears to throw, and this is where I like it when he's doing the whole thing. He puts these, what would I say? They're not
fire tree seeds.
Yeah, thank you. They're seeds across the front door.
Yeah, from what's called a fire tree.
Fire tree seeds. That's right. And of course, it basically prevents La Llorona from re-entering because he manages to, because she attacks and he throws the tears at her, and it pushes her back out the door. Then he throws the seeds on the ground, and you see La Llorona start from the outside and come straight towards the door, and it's like an invisible force field. She bangs off of it and can't
come in.
And he's like standing there, and she can't get in, and she's really hissing and trying to attack them. Now, Sam loves Sam. Sam's got a doll that she's very attached to.
Yeah, which we have seen ever since we first saw her. She takes this doll everywhere. Like it was in the car with her. Yeah. But
in the chaos of everything that's going on, she's left the doll outside, as in outside the front door.
No, actually, I think La Llorona took it.
Took it or something, but it ended up just
outside the door.
Yeah. Now, as Father Raphael says, as long as these seeds across the front door do not break.
Yeah, as long as the line of them doesn't break. Yeah.
La Llorona cannot come in. So Sam goes to reach out side for the doll. Now this is where the anxiety of this movie starts to ramp up, because you can see what's going to happen.
Being a kid, what does she do?
Yeah, but you don't want it to happen, but you know what's going to happen. So she's reaching, and she's reaching, but it's still out of her reach. So she's reaching a little bit further, still out of her reach. She reaches just a little bit further. Now you can see that La Llorona is watching this to see just how far if this child goes out of the house, La Llorona is going to attack. So yep. Sam's got one. Now she's got one toe inside the house. The rest of her body is outside of the house trying to get this goddamn doll. She picks up the doll. Instead of just coming back, she slides the doll completely from the front of the house straight through
into the house and breaks the line
of the fire seeds. Of course, this is where La Llorona grabs a hold of her and pulls her outside. So, like, there we go. We knew it. So Anna realizes that La Llorona will try to drown Sam. So they run to the pool. She jumps in to get Sam, but La Llorona starts attacking her. Of course, Raphael then blesses the pool to turn the water holy and forces La Llorona out of there. And Sam emerges with Sam and La Llorona's pendant. Now, remember, La Llorona had this pendant that her sons gave her.
Yeah,
and it was one of the most precious things that she's given. So she said, I'm going to hold on to it forever. So we hear that there's a pounding sound heard at the door, and Patricia shows up with a gun, which is wonderful. And she is hell-bent on delivering Anna's kids to the demon. And she's going to shoot them, which is, okay, is that how it's supposed to work? We're going to go with it. So La Llorona reappears in the house. So Chris and Sam run to the attic to hide. So you can feel this tension of like, oh my God, they're going to go to the attic. They're going to get trapped. Their attempt to keep her out fails as she makes her way upstairs. Of course, Chris pulls out the pendant that she took from his mum and shows it to La Llorona. And for that brief moment, she appears as in her human form.
And she's beautiful.
She is absolutely gorgeous. and approaches Chris and Sam. And of course, then Sam accidentally unveils a mirror, causing La Llorona to see her hideous demonic reflection and wail.
And then she goes back into being...
Then she goes back into being the scary thing. Of course, Patricia has a change of heart and lets Anna and Rafael run up in the attic to fight La Llorona, because at this stage that, you know, she's already shot poor old Rafael in the shoulder with a gun. So it's like, you know, he's bleeding, but he's still going to try and save these two kids. And Anna's being held back because, as Patricia's saying, you're not going to go near the kids. She wants the kids. I want my kids back. So you're going to stay right where you are.
Yep.
But I love it how Patricia finally does have that change of heart and goes, I can't do this. I need to, you know, allow you to go and fight it. Yep. So Rafael attempts to hold La Llorona off with his cross, but he, of course, she then throws him back. Anna runs to protect her kids, and as La Llorona approaches, Rafael throws Anna the cross, which is a shot and a half. It's like a slide across the floor, straight through between La Llorona's feet to Anna's hands. Of course, she uses it to impale La Llorona through the chest, causing the evil spirit to finally be destroyed. And I absolutely love that scene.
Yep.
Of course, and this is like, oh God, okay, it's all over. Yeah, this is like, this fine.
We can breathe now.
We can breathe now. So in the morning, Rafael he bids the family farewell. Now, this is one thing that I found very interesting in the movie. So Chris and Sam run back into the house to go and to play. And Anna turns around towards and starts walking away towards the house.
Yep.
But you actually see her reflection still in the puddle, which looks like a puddle of tears on the sidewalk.
Yep.
That I don't get. Because I'm not sure whether La Llorona is still around.
I think they're trying to leave it open for a sequel in case they decide to make one.
Yeah. The movie then goes black, and that is the end of The Curse of La Llorona.
Wow.
Now, on a scale of 0 to 5 movie reels, 0 being how do I get the last, however long this movie was, to 5, it was a perfect movie, and I'd watch it all over again. What would you give this movie?
I'd give it probably about a 4.5.
Oh, that's, yes. I was going to give it a solid 4. I thought the way they did this movie, I think a lot of what they were trying to accomplish really worked. I think they made La Llorona way scarier than Valak. I think this is a movie that a lot of people have poo-hooed and sat there and gone, I'm not watching that. That looks like garbage. They've missed out on a really great movie.
But I think that they did some bad editing and left some stuff out.
Yeah.
Which is the only reason why it didn't get a 5, is because some of it was just confusing.
Yeah, I don't.
And unclear.
I mean, as you said, maybe the last part was they're leaving a sequel. But I really think if they had given you an idea of what happens when that boy closes his eyes and then he opens his eyes, his father's gone, which we don't know.
Yeah.
The mother's drowning the child. How do we get to that point when they were having all this wonderful, beautiful day?
Yeah, exactly.
But, you know, if one of our listeners was watching this movie and I came into the room and I'm like, what did you watch? Oh, La Llorona. Oh, I can watch that with you. Okay, let's watch it. Or if I was watching it and one of the listeners walked in, and I'd be like, yeah, we can watch it again. It's an entertaining movie. I did like it very much.
Yep,
so
yep, I really enjoyed
I was
it.
I was very glad to actually watch this movie. It had been on my Netflix list for quite some time, and I was just trying to find out what I was going to do for my next episode of The Horror Crypt. And I'm like, you know what? What I've found lately is that there are movies that I have reviewed on my Horror Crypt that is my first watch through, because I've seen it on there and I'm like, you know what? I'm not interested. I'm not going to watch it. But then I've gone, you know what? I'm going to do that for an episode. And I've come away going, holy crap, that was awesome. There was a movie, All Hallows Eve, that I,
yeah.
And it was with Art the Clown. Now, Art the Clown has been in Terrifier 1 and 2. Now, I'd seen Terrifier 1 and everyone had been saying, watch it, it's awesome. And I thought, nah, it's garbage. But I watched it. I enjoyed it. Terrifier 2, I watched it. I enjoyed it. Graphically violent. Incredibly violent. But yeah, then they said that there was an original movie called All Hallows Eve. And I'm like, okay. And then they said that it was very much like Creepshow. And I'm like, oh, I like that. So I sought out All Hallows Eve. Watched it. Absolutely loved it. It was graphically violent, but I absolutely loved that one. So it's these little nuggets of movies that if you sit there and go, I don't know whether I really want to see that movie, take a chance and dive into it, because guaranteed you'll probably end up by either going, yep, that was garbage. I've wasted my life. Or, holy shit, that was a great movie, and I'm so glad I watched it. And this is where La Llorona is. I thoroughly enjoyed watching this movie. It was a really fun find that I really enjoyed. So
yeah, I really enjoyed it. Now, what's interesting is we mentioned the credits a moment ago.
Yeah.
And they did leave it open for a sequel if they choose to make one, because if you watch through the credits, you can actually hear her crying at the end of the closing credits.
Oh.
Yeah.
So there is a possibility they may make one
day. Yeah, there's that possibility. But there is one last final fun fact.
Okay.
And this is okay.
I'll like this one.
I'm not a fan of traumatizing children, but this one made me laugh.
Okay.
A theater in Montreal, Quebec, in Canada, was supposed to play Pokemon Detective Pikachu. But after the trailers for Annabelle Comes Home, Joker, and Child's Play were featured, this film played instead, causing the children in the audience to run out crying.
I'm so sorry to laugh at that.
I'm sorry. That it's like, awesome. I'm not a fan of traumatizing children, but I just think that accident is hilarious.
Oh my God. I wonder if that cinema was basically being told you've got to give a lot of free passes back out of the families.
I don't know, but I just, like, oh, I said, boy. I just thought it was hilarious.
I don't think Canadians would actually sue cinemas as much as Americans do, but that would be...
Americans like to sue about anything.
They sue everything, yeah, but that would be, oh my God, poor kids.
Yeah, I thought that was funny.
I'm sorry, I'm trying not to laugh, but I could just see that happening. There's this people working outside the cinema, and all these kids are just running out like, what the hell, is it on fire in there? No, it's just Llorona.
No, oh, it's a scary movie.
I thought it was a Pokemon. Oh, we put the wrong one on. Oh, okay. Oops,
sorry.
Oh dear. On one of those notes, what do you think of the new, because I'm showing you the trailer, what do you think of the new Exorcist Believer coming out?
I'm actually really looking forward to seeing it, because I think I'm a weirdo as far as this goes, that everybody says that The Exorcist is like the scariest movie ever made, and I just don't see it.
That has been
it very did not terrify me.
I can't believe you.
Maybe it's because I didn't grow up Catholic, but it really didn't. I mean, I thought it was interesting. I thought it was a very well done film.
Yeah.
But it didn't terrify me. It didn't give me nightmares. It didn't anything. It really just wasn't scary to me. It was an interesting thriller, but it wasn't a scary movie. I've seen Exorcist 2, which is the story of the priest, isn't it?
No, that's the heretic.
Okay, well,
it's similar to, yeah, he goes to Africa and he goes with Pazuzu and does the exorcism there.
But anyway, there was the one about the priest, and then there was the
locusts.
And then there was the one that Linda Blair came back for.
That was number two. Number three was the one with that there's supposed to be that the priest was still alive.
Oh, wait a minute. Is that the one that we stopped halfway through because it was boring?
Yeah. I watched it to the end. I watched all of number three, but number...
But number three is the one that we stopped halfway through?
Yeah, you said it was boring.
It really was.
Yeah.
Well, I wished I would have known you were going to watch the rest of it, because I wanted to see the rest of it.
Yeah, well, the heretic is like...
Yeah, but I'm just saying, I wanted to see the rest of it, but we stopped it because you were bored.
No, I watched it. It was just...
I'm just saying, I wish you would have watched it. I would have watched it.
Well, we've got it. We can watch it anytime.
But either way, I have found these to be interesting, but not scary. And I'm interested to see how they treat this two-person infestation.
I just don't know whether it's going to work.
It's either going to be amazing and work exceptionally well, or it's going to be a total epic fail.
I've got a feeling it's going to be part two.
But Ellen, you know what? Burstyn, I'm back. Willing to give it a shot.
I mean, you know, bringing Ellen Burstyn back, it's like, okay, so you're bringing back one of the original cast members, but is this really going to work? I don't know. Only time will tell, and we will definitely do it on the Home Class Movie Chat, believe me, and it will definitely be featured on the Horror Crypt podcast for sure.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to it. I really am.
So on that note, we will say thank you very much once again for coming to visit us at the Home Class Movie Chat. If you want to get in contact with us, hello@homeclassmoviechat.com. You can also like and subscribe our podcast wherever you listen to podcasts. And also, if you could, it'd be awesome if you did, give us a rating and a review, because we would love to read your ratings and reviews.
And yes, it just makes us feel so loved.
It makes us happy.
And if you do know anybody who enjoys movies and would like to join the conversation, by all means, please feel free to share the podcast.
And if you really like horror movies, Horror Crypt Podcast is the place for you.
And if you like The Big Bang Theory.
If you like The Big Bang Theory, you can come and visit us at the Perpetual Motion Squad because we do a Big Bang Theory podcast.
We are huge Big Bang Theory fans.
Yeah, and we've got a Big Bang Theory podcast that people love and adore.
So yeah, people, it's really picking up some traction.
So if you want to hang out with us for a lot of time, we've got you covered. We've got you from regular movies to Big Bang Theory to horror. So there we go. We run the gamut.
Paul, I introduced Paul to Audacity and podcasting, and I think I created a monster.
Yeah, I've never looked back, but one day my podcast will end. I can guarantee you that I won't be doing this forever. So it will end one day.
I doubt that.
No, it will. It'll
because you died.
It'll be before I die, I will be ending the podcast.
But anyway, my podcast won't last forever. Don't forget to buy your popcorn, drinks, and snacks for the movies, and we'll catch up with you next time.
Okay, bye.
See you at the movies.